All right, welcome back to the Giants pregame show on KNBR. Bill Lasky, Kerry Crowley, as we welcome in the host of the leadoff spot. But this week it's going to be a little different. He's only doing that on Tuesday. He'll be filling in for Greg Papa Wednesday through Friday with John Lund. And my other buddy, Kerry Crowley, will be filling in for Adam Copeland. So let's bring Adam in this afternoon. How are you doing today, Adam?
I'm good, Bill. Any changes to your schedule this week? Anything we should know?
No, I think I'll be working tomorrow, and I'll be taking the rest of the week off and preparing for the Cubs on next weekend. But thanks
all right,
for asking. I appreciate that.
Yeah, good deal, man. Yeah,
but, Adam, let me ask you something. Clayton Kershaw today is 50th career start against the Giants. 50 of it. He's got a 1.79 earned run average, the best in baseball against an opposing team. What do you think the Giants' chances are today to go against Kershaw?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about their right-handed hitting lineup. I think that's been a pretty good part of the lineup, or a pretty good the line changes that Gabe Kapler does. I think the right-handed lineup has been pretty good this year. So I think there's reason to feel good about what you're running out there against Kershaw, especially after what the offense did last night and the night before. It's funny, though. I was thinking about Kershaw actually earlier this morning, and I was thinking about how, you know, with the Dodgers having, you know, year after year, young studs come up, it seems like. It's Walker Buehler, it's Dustin May, it's Tony Gonsolin, it's Gavin Lux. It just seems like they're churning guys out. And we go through this wave of not liking Dodger players that come up and do damage against the Giants, obviously. But then we sort of cross a barrier with Clayton Kershaw. I think, like, historic Giants fans would feel this way about Sandy Koufax, that as we watched him get deeper in his career, while it's great to beat him and it's great that he's always out there competing against the Giants, I love that they line him up frequently to make sure he's pitching in these big games against the Giants. I think there's a level of respect that I've come to understand more or accept more that we've gotten deeper into Clayton Kershaw's career, and maybe it made it a little easier that he'd never won a real World Series, and I'm still going to stand by that with the 60-game season last year. But there's a level of respect that I think Giants-Dodgers Sunday afternoon, a chance for the Giants to take 3 of 4. Who better to go up against than Clayton Kershaw? Should be a fun one today.
Hey, Copes, first off, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy Memorial Day weekend schedule. I'm sure there's a farmer's market or a beer at Red Jack Saloon that you're passing up right now to join us. But I wanted to ask you, we've talked a lot on this show about all the no-hitters this season. Just, we love throwing different questions around. A few weeks ago, I asked you about whether there were too many no-hitters, whether it was special anymore. If you had to pick a Giants pitcher on this staff who would throw a no-hitter on this year, who would it be?
Boy, I think two guys for two different reasons. I think Kevin Gausman is an obvious answer just because of what we've seen him do this year. And I think he's had several outings where he just didn't give up very many hits at all. The opposition has a really tough time seeing him. The split-finger fastball that just dives and darts away from left-handed hitters and down and in on right-handed hitters is really tough to make contact with. And because they've got such a good defense, and the defense has played so well this year, it makes you think, boy, with guys like Mike Tauchman and Mike Yastrzemski and maybe Brandon Crawford at shortstop, you really could get away with throwing a no-hitter. And so I do think that what Kevin Gausman runs into trouble with or runs into problems with is because he strikes out so many hitters, you go deeper into counts. We used to see this with Tim Lincecum too, right? His two no-hitters, he threw tons and tons of pitches because he strikes so many guys out. The other guy who I could see doing it would be Alex Wood, just based on the amount of soft contact that he's giving up, paired with his quick movement or his quick pace, I guess, on the mound, that when he gets in rhythm, it's really tough to get him out of rhythm, which is why we kind of saw that stat with he and Max Muncy on Thursday night. So I would pick Gausman because of the stuff. I would pick Alex Wood because of the soft contact guys are making against him, and because he's such a rhythm guy that no hitters in perfect games, it's all about rhythm. It's all about staying in your zone, getting locked in, and being able to command the strike zone and command what you want a hitter to do when you're out there on the hill. So I think Alex Wood would be another option for me.
Adam, a late scratch by Mookie Betts for allergy issues. But when I'm looking at this lineup, I look at Cody Bellinger, and even though he's only got 23 at-bats, he's hitting 174 with no home runs. Yesterday took an 0-for-4, really was out of place. This didn't look like he was swinging the bat well. Your thoughts on Cody Bellinger as we go into this final game of a four-game series, and let's hope he doesn't get hot today.
Yeah, 0-for-4 yesterday. You love to see it as a Giants fan. And you always worry about that with good hitters like this, right? Guys who are coming off the IL, and you go, okay, is he going to hit the ground running and show up, and he's just been ramping up and ready to go, and he's feeling good about himself? Or is he going to need a minute to get back into the swing of things? And I think that's what we're seeing with him right now. Is he saw some tough pitching yesterday, and the Giants obviously went to several different guys out of the bullpen, and because they had a big lead, they were able to allow those guys to stay in the game and give up some home runs, I think. My guess is because the game was further apart. part in score that they were able to run some guys out there for longer innings than they otherwise might have in a close game. But I do think Bellinger is a guy that you should fear based on what we've seen from him in the past. He's an MVP candidate when he's healthy. He's a guy who can hit just about any pitcher in the game. He can hit for power. He can hit for average. He's a really good base runner, and he's got great speed. He's a fantastic defender in center field. And so if he's bringing those other elements to the game, I think as a Dodger fan, you just got to sort of deal with what's going to happen while he sorts to ramp himself back up. He's also a guy who's going to strike out a lot. So I think you take the strikeouts, you wait for him to find his timing, and he's a guy with that big uppercut swing. When he makes contact, the ball's going to fly. To your point, Bill, you just hope it doesn't happen today.
Adam, I know that Bill mentioned Clayton Kershaw's success against the Giants, and you being kind of a base running guru, I know this is something that you pay attention to. Austin Slater at the top of the order, 7 stolen bases this season. Steven Duggar in the lineup, Mauricio Dubon in the lineup. The Giants have struggled for years to generate offense against Clayton Kershaw. You think they could be more aggressive today on the base paths?
Yeah, I think you have to pick your spots, right? I mean, you mentioned 3 guys there who are pretty fast for the Giants, but you're talking Austin Slater with 7 stolen bases. I think the league leader has like 14 or 17 right now, and I think there's only 6 or 7 guys who have more than 10. So 7 puts you up near the top percentile in the league as far as number of stolen bases for Austin Slater there. But you look at a team like the Padres, who are leading the league in ERA, they're leading the league in runs scored, and they're also leading the league in stolen bases by like 20. They're blowing out Major League Baseball when it comes to steals. So you look at that and you go, boy, that's sort of funny that the team who's leading the league in runs scored is also the team that's leading the league in stolen bases. So there's certainly something to be said about creating offense and getting into a situation where you put a guy in motion so that you can put pressure on the opposition. And against a guy like Clayton Kershaw, you need to make sure you're doing it at the right spot. But I do think that if it's a close game and you need to dig something out against him and you're not running into pitches, you're not hitting for extra bases, and you're not moving runners along, I certainly think there's an opportunity there to steal bases. It also gets really funky in these close games where that's on a manager. If you put the guy in motion and the guy gets thrown out stealing and you run yourself out of an inning, people start looking around going, why didn't you drop down a sack bunt? Why didn't you let the hitter swing away? Why didn't you give yourself a chance with the guy on base to come back and win this game? So it's a tough situation in close games. However, that's usually when you've got to take the big risks. And I think against Kershaw and teams that have a couple of big aces in a long series like this, it's a good opportunity to do it.
You know, Adam, earlier today, Mark Sanchez wrote that Caleb Berger is on the IL with injury to his elbow, soreness in his elbow. He'll be seen by a doctor tomorrow. Tell me how this is going to hurt the bullpen, especially when you've seen him come in at so many valuable times to give you that shutout inning.
Well, he's been, outside of Jake McGee for the first, 10, 12 outings of the season, I think he's been the best lefty for the Giants, probably the best reliever for the Giants outside of Tyler Rogers. He's been the most consistent. He had the long stretch of scoreless outings and was still really, really sharp. He's a guy who I came to count on where there are very few pitchers right now, I think, in the Giants bullpen where when they come in, you think, all right, this should be a clean inning. I'm not really concerned about the lead getting blown here. And he was one of those guys. So to lose him and to hear that it's an elbow injury, or when you start talking elbow and forearm and going to see an arm specialist, that's when it gets really, really scary. And we're just, you don't want to start talking Tommy John prematurely, but when you get into that type of terminology and that's the type of exam you're getting, it's a scary thought. And bullpen issues were already something the Giants were feeling this year. And so while they've got depth in the minor leagues, while they've got some veteran pitching, guys like Scott Kazmir, who they brought up and we saw a little bit yesterday, albeit giving up a couple of runs and 3 hits in his inning pitched, I do think the Giants at the deadline, if they're going to stay in the mix right now, and what are they, a game and a half out of first place and a game up on the Dodgers right now, they're going to need extra arms. You're just going to need them to make a run, as Kerry and I talk about, into the dog days of summer. And I think that's probably where they're going to have to go get some help at the deadline.
Saturday, Adam, was kind of an unexpected offensive outburst from the Giants. You know, they really struggled against Julio Urias last weekend at Oracle Park, and they pounded out 16 hits, 11 runs, their most at Dodger Stadium since a 19-run day back in 2013. I'm wondering for you, this is something that we weren't able to cover on our podcast this week. Just favorite moment at Dodger Stadium that the Giants have produced. One thing that stands out to me, of course, through the years is Bruce Bochy calling Don Mattingly on the double mound visit back in 2010 on a win that really propelled the Giants that summer, one that Giants fans will never forget when it comes to Bochy's legacy. Anything like that stand out to you down at Dodger Stadium?
Well, you know what's funny is one of my favorite moments against the Dodgers was not a Giants moment against the Dodgers. And to the point that you and I were talking about a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, like there's so many great walk-off moments for the Giants against the Dodgers. But one that immediately comes to mind to me is when the Dodgers were starting to make their deep playoff runs with Manny Wood and Casey Blake. And they had that whole veteran crew and Joe Torre's over there managing the Dodgers. I want to say this was the 07 or 08 season maybe. And it's not a Giants moment. It's just a moment against the Dodgers I've always loved is the Matt Stairs home run against the Dodgers in the playoffs for the Phillies. The pinch hit home run by Matt Stairs was always fantastic to me. And the exclamation point for that to me was the following season when then the Giants have to play the Phillies, who again were World Series favorites in the National League. So that must have been the 09 year for the Dodgers against the Phillies. The Phillies go on and go to the World Series. Then the Giants come out and they top the Phillies, something the Dodgers could not do in their attempt to try to get back to the World Series. So while not a great Giants against the Dodger moment at Chavez Ravine, that's a moment watching the Dodgers go down where I could not have been more happy. And then to see the Giants come back a couple of years later and top the Phillies on their way to a World Series was a lot of fun.
Adam, finishing up here, the third lowest chase rate are the Giants, and of course San Diego and L.A. are right above them. When you're looking at these top three teams, the chase rate is so important, especially against Kershaw today. Your thoughts on the final point here of how the Giants are going to enable to take pitches but yet be aggressive and get them early?
Well, that's been their game plan all season, right? It's winning the time of possession. It's trying to work these pitchers deep into counts until you get a pitch into your, what do they call it, into your swing tunnel or into your power zone where you can make sure you're putting good wood on the ball. So you're right. With a guy like Kershaw, it's really difficult because he can pitch to spots with all sorts of different pitches. He can throw off speed. He can bring his fastball, which is not what it used to be at 95, 96, now closer to 90, 91, 92. But when he's running that in on you, after he's dropping changeups on you, after he's throwing that big looping curveball, it gets really, really tough. So that is the challenge for the Giants today, is how do you get deep into a count against Kershaw and then not swing at the curveball and miss, or not look at the curveball and miss. So I anticipate a low-scoring game today. Kevin Gausman doesn't give up a lot of hits. Clayton Kershaw is not going to give up a ton. He had his best outing of the season earlier this week. I watched that game against the Astros, 7 2/3 against Houston, and looked really, really good outside of like one home run that he gave up to Alex Bregman. So this is going to be a tough one. He's starting to ramp up. He's building himself up. He's coming off of, you know, much like Buster Posey, having the year off last year and letting it sort of recoup his body a little bit. I do think the fact that pitchers and great pitchers like Kershaw, who did not have the same toll on their arms last year, guys who know how to pitch and are pure power throwers, are finding great success early this season, and Kershaw should be no different. So that is the challenge for the Giants, is work the counts, try to get him out of the game as early as possible. But with a veteran dude like this and a guy who's won so many Cy Young Awards and knows how to pitch deep into the game and deep into counts, it's going to be tough.
Adam Copeland, good stuff once again. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Carrie Crowley, also thank you. And we're going to go to the booth next with John Miller coming up on KNBR 104.5, 680, The Sports Leader.